getting out of the military doesn't always mean leaving it all behind. You may still end up with the sleepless nights, the short fuse, the aches that just won't go away. It can feel like you're stuck carrying all of this stuff forever. But here's the thing, there are ways to feel better. You just really need to know where to look and what to do. Eric Lawrence, our guest today, has been there, and he spent years in special forces, then dove into contracting, staying busy until his body and mind forced him to figure out a different path. He's dealt with TBIs, toxic exposures, bad habits, and he's tested just about every approach out there to help address some of the issues that he was having. And now he's sharing what really works, whether it's fasting, detoxing, smarter health choices, and why some one-size-fits-all solutions never really help the veterans in the long run. This is the kind of conversation I think a lot of us wish we had sooner, and he's written a book with all of this information in it, all the things that he's tried, whether they worked or didn't work, and he lets you know all the pros and cons of all these different approaches. So we'll talk about that book in this episode as well. But before we get started and jump into this episode, I want to take a quick moment to highlight something important to the military community here. The Global War on Terrorism Memorial Foundation is a foundation that's working to build a permanent memorial in Washington, D.C. to honor everyone impacted by the global war on terrorism, whether they're civilian, military, non-military folks who were deployed overseas. Everyone involved is who this memorial is going to be there for. This memorial will be all about remembering the service members, the families, the sacrifices that were made during this time period. So if you'd like to learn a little bit more or see how you can support their mission, head on over to GWATMemorialFoundation.org. Now let's get into today's episode. Hey, Eric, welcome to the show. Really glad to have you here.
Hey, appreciate you waiting around for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, this conversation, like we were talking before we started recording here, it's been in the works for quite some time and, you know, kind of scheduled it out a while ago. But, you know, here we are and, you know, looking forward to hearing the a little bit about your story and your background and all that. But can we start off maybe with just like a kind of real brief about who you are, your background, military history, all that kind of stuff, just for the listeners who maybe aren't familiar with you and want to know a little bit more about you?
Yeah, I, you know, us SF guys, we try not to tell anybody anything, but, you know, I have been out in industry and writing a lot of books, so it's kind of hard to hide, I suspect. But, you know, born in West Virginia, the minute I could, joined the Army, joined an SF guard unit so I could sneak in the back door and not have to, you know, go through the whole conventional Army. So sorry, I skipped all that. And, you know, I was a 21-year-old E6, 18X Echo, you know, so it kind of skipped everything. And it really screws you up because people are like a little young for that. And I'm like, well, you get on a grad, you pass all the stuff, you know, it's not on me, it's on the system. So as soon as I got tabbed out, I went ahead and joined First Crew and left the 19th crew. The older guys are like, hey, get out of here, go do something for a while and then come back. So I did first group for, I don't know, 6 years, I guess, you know, Fort Lewis and Okinawa. Was in the SIF and, you know, a lot of the entertaining stuff pre-war. But just got bored. I'm like, we're not doing anything, you know, and we weren't going to. I got out in 98. So I had done 11 or 12 years in SF and I'm like, that's where guys usually hit it, is 12 years. So got out, 9/11 happened, obviously. Joined back up in a government unit and went over to Afghanistan, Iraq, and Africa, and all those glorious places, you know, kind of doing the SF thing, but for the government. And then yes, while I was doing that, I was doing actually commercial enterprises too. You know, I had a logistics company, training company, and a security company. So there's no moss growing on my feet.
Yeah, it seems like you kept pretty busy. But how about after getting out of all of that and kind of moving on from there, you know, what was that situation like for you and kind of what did you find yourself doing? I know a lot of guys after leaving military service or government, you know, a lot of times they go into contracting of some sort or working for the government in another capacity. Sometimes they're struggling to figure out, like, what do I do with myself? What's the next chapter look like? So what was that looking like for you?
Yeah, back then we didn't have real great transition processes. You know, they kind of like, you're out, see you later. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, the VA really didn't tell you how to do, you know, signups and all that. I kind of skipped once again the process, and within 2 weeks of getting out, I was in Sierra Leone, you know, carrying a Mag 58 for the government. So I didn't, it's non-conventional at best. You know, you go straight into a African civil war, and it's quite entertaining though. I enjoyed that experience, and the guys, you know, a lot of them are still out and about kicking. So, I mean, in each of those contract jobs afterwards was pretty much, you're doing the same thing. So I don't think it was a true transition. I think it was a different part of the government, but it kept you distracted. And I think guys jump into some kind of distraction and they don't want to let go of the glory days. You know, it's a high school football thing. And I don't think it's healthy for guys. You know, but I always harp on guys trying to get out and do something totally different. But we all cling to it. That's all I know. And you're like, bullshit. You know, we're some of the most capable guys out. You can do anything you want, actually. You know, some of my buddies got out, never looked back. You know, they're very successful businessmen or doctors or lawyers or nurses even. So I think you got to push out of your comfort zone. And a lot of guys don't. They'll go, well, I just want to work with the guys I've always worked with and go to wars. And that always ends up in divorce. It always ends up contracting, you know, Groundhog Day. And you get to the same point when you're like, I got to do something different. So I try to get guys to do it sooner than later.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think the trap that we fall into is that we're comfortable with the chaos, with the crazy stuff that's going on in the military, in the contracting world, or whatever world we might find ourselves in. We're just used to that craziness, and sitting in a cubicle and working for the next however many years just doesn't sound all that appealing to a lot of guys who are used to kicking down doors and doing all the cool military stuff. Just, you know, sitting behind a computer, it doesn't have that same appeal. And so, yeah, you find a lot of guys doing kind of just going back to that same type of thing, but that takes its toll on your body, on your mind, on all sorts of things. On, you mentioned relationships, marriages, things like that. You know, it's going to take its toll on all of those things. And so yeah, try something new and see if you can branch out, right? And you've eventually kind of branched out as well yourself, right? I mean, you've moved on from there, and you're into kind of other worlds as well, right?
Yeah, you know, I call it, you know, chapters in the book, you know, and sure, we put chapters away and start new ones. I've been drugged back into the government, you know, because the more you do it, the more people count on you because they already know you can do it competently and they don't have to check your background. So I've been sucked into an operations position for a real large national issue, and I'm like, fuck, whatever, you know, let's do it. You know, we have a friendly administration that's a get done kind of place because I can't tolerate incompetence and or, you know, the chicanery of process. So, I'm trying to do a lot on the health side for guys, but that's all over the place. You know, donors have donor fatigue. A lot of the different foundations, yeah, they do something, but they only do one thing and the guy needs seven.
Yeah.
And, you know, I harp on, you know, we'll get into it, I'm sure, but triaging what a guy really needs. Because no two are the same, but, you know, if you just do whatever the foundation pays for, it might totally be in the wrong order. And
yeah, that's definitely something that I've found with some of the folks that I've talked to who have gone to maybe one nonprofit or another, and they have a, not everyone, but yeah, in a lot of cases, there's a cookie cutter solution where this is what we have to offer, and, you know, kind of take it or leave it. And that cookie cutter solution might work for some people, but it's not going to be necessarily the same thing for everyone. And if you're so rigid and inflexible, it's just not going to work for everybody. And so I think, like, to your point, we need to have a different mindset when it comes to helping folks with a wide variety of issues, whether it's physical health or mental health, or you name it, career transition, whatever. There's not going to be a one-size-fits-all solution for everybody. And so we need to have a little bit more flexibility, I think, with some of the strategies that we use to help folks. And I think, you know, to your point, what you're talking about now is now helping folks with their health, their wellness and stuff. And I'm sure you can probably take some of your experiences from your time in the military to your time later on to be able to help folks with that too. You probably had some of those strategies that you used from your time there, right?
Yeah. And that's where, you know, I've read a lot of books, you know, and it's really to get information out of my head and accessible to other people. Some of the books have sold thousands and tens of thousands. Some have sold a whole 20, you know, but there's 20 people really like that one book, you know, and my busy little mind, it's okay with me. But this recent book with the vet wellness and health, I started writing it as a what happened book, because we've all got our own little nightmares. You know, you're not, you know, a lot of TBIs, a lot of everything going down and the processes we've had to go through just to get semi-healthy. You know, a lot of it, I needed a reference book to explain the different modalities and concepts before you'd write a real book. Because there's so much out there and people don't know what's the components. You know, you call up Foundation X and they go, well, we do hyperbaric training or hyperbaric therapy. Got it. That fixes some things, but I don't need that. So you got to find another one. Well, if you don't even know what to ask for or to look for, you know, which foundation do you talk to? So I wrote this book in a reference book format so you could educate yourself on all the different modalities and all the different concepts, so you could intelligently look for what you need and create a triage type protocol, you know. And that's when I have a guy that calls me up and needs help, I try to triage what's the most important thing. Does he need rent paid, or does he need immediately put into a program and everything else figured out?
Yeah. And so that I think is something that we're missing here, because there are, like you said, so many different modalities, so many different programs out there that are, gosh, who can keep up with all that stuff? And then figuring out, like, is that even the Correct. Right thing for me, given the set of circumstances that I find myself in? And sometimes it may be the right thing that you find. Like you said, hyperbaric might be a good thing for you. Maybe you have a TBI or something, that might be the right thing, but it might not be the right thing for everybody with a TBI. You might need to, you know, try something different first or whatever. And so having some idea of, like, what is the right thing is, I think,
correct.
You know, kind of a crucial point before you even jump into anything, is just identifying, like, what is that right thing? So let's maybe talk about some of that, like some of the strategies and things that you've kind of come up with, some of the different modalities that are out there that you kind of help folks with and recommend them to use, you know, through, you know, either through your book or whatever, you know, to get people moving in the right direction. Like, what are some of the more common things that you see that people are needing help with?
Well, yeah, and a lot of them I've been through as a guinea pig, whether I needed them or I just wanted to go through it to see what the hell it was about. But that's why the book expanded into 500 pages, because I just kept finding new modalities or a new change on it or a new expert that would actually explain it better. So I've done the whole gambit, known to man. You know, I have a lot of TBIs from breaching, and, you know, a lot of people lumped all that together years ago as PTSD. Well, it's not, you know, it's breach your brain, because your brain's not functioning correctly. Where's your anger come from? Well, probably because your brain's not working, you know. And then if you're not eating correctly, nutrition has a load to do with all this, to keep everything in balance, you know, and working off your blood work. So smart doctors, you know, will do that to a very deep level. And then you can tell when you're not doing it right. But I've had, you know, some really good TBI treatments out of the Azulino Clinic in San Francisco. The guy's world-class, does all the professional athletes, does all the, you know, rich people that fall off their horse kind of concussions. And there's just 8 or 10 modalities at that one clinic to help do that, you know, get our heavy metals out of us. Because all the guys have some kind of heavy metal issue. And that goes sometimes into the brain tissue, you know. So that took me almost a year to chelate all the lead out of me and all the chemicals from shooting RPGs or eating mortar exhaust. None of that's good for you. And look at the burn pit guys. They have a nightmare. You know, that's an incredible amount of people. But I think you can detox so much of this out of you that that's what guys have to focus on daily. I call it a detox.
And to your point, there are so many things that, like, well, when I was in Afghanistan, I never thought really twice about the burn pits and the crap that we were throwing in there to burn, throwing, you know, plastics and electronic devices and all, you name it. We're putting all sorts of stuff and then dousing it with fuel and lighting it on fire. And it's like, you don't even think. And then you're smelling all that, you know, the cloud of smoke is coming down over, you know, the barracks. You really can't escape it. And so you're stuck. And so then Now years later, we're finding out, oh, well, that was not the best thing to be doing. And now we have all these people developing cancers and all sorts of stuff now because of what we're doing. And so, yeah, if we can, if there's a way to suck some of that stuff out of you, because that stuff just sits around, you know? And so those are the things that I think, you know, people don't even realize, you know, just like we didn't realize that it was a problem back then. We don't even realize that A, some of that stuff might still be inside of us or likely is still inside of us.
Oh, I guarantee it is.
And B, there's a way to get rid of it. And that's the thing that I think we need to kind of open up some people's eyes to and let them know that, like, you don't have to be dealing with all these same issues that all these other people are dealing with. Like, there's a way to get rid of some of that stuff before it becomes a problem, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm no doctor, but I can read, you know, and one of the best things you can do daily is an infrared sauna. That moves so much stuff because it's your lymph system. Once your lymph system's boogered up, you know, that's your sewer system. So if it's backed up and clogged up, that's where you're going to develop a cancer tumor or some kind of, you can't fight an illness because your immune system's down. Excuse me, drier. Some of that's the most important part, you know, and I got guys doing that and they can't tell until a couple weeks later and they're like, hey, this is, something's wrong. I'm like, what? Well, I can think, I can remember. I'm like, oh, yeah. Because you're clearing that out. Because think dementia doesn't happen when you're 7, right? So I suspect it's accumulation of something, you know, some kind of plaque. And, you know, fasting goes a long way too. I'm wanting some guys to study. Because when you get brain damage of some physical type, you know, there's dead tissue up there. And I've got scans showing mine. You know, it looks like a hand grenade went off in there. But with autophagy, with fasting, your body will eliminate by eating up parts of your body that aren't working. So I'm wanting to find some really fit guys, you know, CAG level, and fast 3 or 4 times a month and see, you know, 10 years from now how they're doing. Because I think you can eliminate it before it becomes long term. Same with, you know, that's the CV.
You know that? Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't really considered that fasting, like how that works. You know, I know some people do it for, you know, like weight loss and those kind of things, but I never really considered it for the way you just described it, because that makes a ton of sense. Like, why not do that? Because it'll start attacking those things that aren't working or not necessary to keep around. And let's start purging those out of us. And that seems to make a bunch of sense. And it seems like that's someone who's struggling with some of the things that you just mentioned. Like, what do you got to lose? Like, that's not gonna cost you anything to try doing that for a little bit, right?
It's free. It costs you discipline. That's it. I did a 10 or 11 day one this spring at a facility just to see how they did it. And it was pretty lame. You know, that people lay around and do nothing. I'm like, no, we kind of work out. You know, we got to walk. We got to do things. I mean, because the body needs help in burning that up, because the fat cell stores a lot of these toxins. So if you're eating up fat cells, that's eliminating those toxins also. So if you're already fasting, you might as well maximize it, you know, and at the different time periods. After 3 days, you're not hungry.
Right.
You know, you've killed most of the parasites in you that are all bitsy because you're not eating and giving them carbs and sugar. So once they've died off, you're really bored because you have so much more of your day. And some people get lethargic. Some people get very active. I get very mentally active after day three. You're not going to write a book or two. It's just.
And I'm guessing you probably have with kind of some of the work that you're doing, right?
It just, the body's made for that. Because think about it, you know, zillions of years ago, if you were hungry, what did you do? Did you lay around, wait for Uber Eats? Or did you go out there and you have to hunt and smell it? All your senses heightened. You know, you do get energy. You are getting rid of parts of your body you don't need for survival. So it's truly a no-brainer. But people are like, oh, I can't get past 20 hours. You're like, drink water and go to bed. You know, you sleep 8 hours, knock it out right there. You know, I try to do 1 day a week and then like 3 days a month and then 10 days or 2 weeks once a year. A lot of really high-end clients of mine, they do that regularly and they're really sharp. I mean, they're very elderly and they're quite sharp.
Yeah, and so that goes into like quality of life type things and longevity too, because now you're improving your overall health, so you'll live longer, but it's not just about the quantity of the years, it's the quality of the years. You're going to have better quality years of life because you're just in better shape, you know, physically, mentally. All of those things are just going to start getting better because you're not carrying around all that crap that it's not doing you any good. It's not doing you any favors. As a matter of fact, it's harming you and you're carrying all that stuff around. If you can offload that and send it on its way, you're going to be a hell of a lot better. So, you know, I think that's a thing that when we're just looking at ourselves, it's like, I think you said this before, discipline. It's like, you know what? Yeah, that sounds great for somebody else to do, but gosh, I don't know if I really want to skip all those meals or, you know, do all those kind of things on my own. And I think it's until someone starts to see what those benefits are, because it's a big unknown at first. Like, I don't know if that's actually going to work for me. So why am I going to go suffer and struggle through those, you know, however many days or whatever of fasting if I don't know if it's actually going to work for me? But once you start seeing those benefits, then it's like, well, hell yeah, why haven't I been doing this all along, you know?
Yeah, and it's not a new idea. I mean, what religion really doesn't have a period of fasting built into it? You know, 40 days, some of them, you know? I mean, it's just a no-brainer, whether some of them are intermittent fasting, but some of them are legit water fast, you know? And a dry day fast is worth 3 water days fast. So, I mean, you can really cheat code it some too. And, you know, community helps if you have a partner or buddies that are going to do it also, because you can cajole each other into it and then force them to stay on.
Right. Yeah. And distract each other too from, you know, when times are getting tough and you're starting to feel like, maybe I'm just going to give in. You have that partner there who's going to keep that accountability high and make sure that you're not going off track and you continue doing the right thing. So, you know, I think all of that is helpful. And honestly, stuff I haven't even really thought of or considered from that perspective of how helpful some of those things can be. And, you know, I'm hoping some of the listeners are listening to this and thinking to themselves, you know what, I've been dealing with a lot of these issues. I've tried so many different things, never tried fasting. You know, maybe I give it a try and see what it works. Like you said, it's free. It costs you nothing. The only thing it's gonna do is just be a little uncomfortable for a short period of time, and then you're done, and you start feeling better. And it's almost like that just delayed gratification. Like, let it let it happen, and you'll start feeling better down the line, right?
Yeah, and that's, you know, as I said, community can help, obviously, but environment also. You know, it's hard to do when you're doing business meetings. It's hard to do with the kids and this and that, but I go camping. You know what I bring with me? Water. So you look around and you're like, unless you're going to go foraging, there's nothing else. You know, you go backpacking or you grab right. the RV and only put water in it, you're kind of boogered, you know, but it's so worth it.
Yeah. And yeah. Well, it's the same idea as being at home, right? When, if you have cookies sitting out on the counter, well, as you're walking by, you're going to be naturally inclined to just grab a cookie and eat it, or, you know, chips or candy or any of the other garbage that yeah. you don't need to eat, but it's there and it's easy, it's convenient. So yeah, why not? Why not grab it? But if you put it out of reach, like what you're suggesting, that's just one less thing that you're going to have access to.
Yeah, I'm bad about that. You know, if it's there, you're going to draw to it, you know, and my youngest daughter, she gets cranky sometimes. She goes, I'm tired of fruit, tired of meat. I'm like, oh, sorry, get on. You're not getting cookies, you're not getting sugar, you're not getting ice cream, because there's no benefit to it. You know, it's like guys and alcohol. Right. I quit drinking years ago, and I wish I'd never drink. What a waste of money. What a waste of, you know, liver function, brain function. It's a zero win. You know, you take a sip of that, all your liver shuts down for like 3 days to clear that out. It's just, I'll only drink one a day.
Yeah. Yeah. And the waste of time too, you know, like if you think about all the time that people spend going out drinking and all those things
for a year.
I mean, what else could you be doing that's, you know, more productive, that could be benefiting something, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. When I was in group, I mean, you were the most physically fit alcoholics in the Army probably. And I imagine if we do nutrition back then, which we didn't, you know, we paid $3.29 for lunch at Taco Bell, you know, and then at night you would drink, you know, a 12 pack of Glacier Bay and then go running. And I'm like, if we'd had one adult that understood nutrition, we would have been horses, you know, but, you know, we were studs and we could put up with it. But imagine if you weren't counteracting your PT every day, you know, and just guys now are much.
Right. And how much better you would have been.
Olympic. Yeah. We'd have been Olympic level.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Nowadays they have
cool
programs with strength coaches, stretch coaches, everything. I went into one of the four systems there at Droop, and I sat down and cried. It was better than any NFL gym I saw. And I'm like, this is the way it should fucking be. Because back when I was in Group, we had one universal weight set and one set of dumbbells for a battalion. Except, guys, it's flint. We'll do push-ups.
Wow. That's ridiculous.
That was pathetic.
Yeah. But you know, the equipment's there, and thankfully things are turning around and we're starting to take these things seriously. And, you know, whether it physical health, mental health, all of those things are starting to be taken a lot more seriously than they were, you know, 20 plus years ago. But I think there's still some work to be done there. And part of what you're talking about here is exactly that, right?
Yeah. And that's where, you know, NSF, you know, you're not supposed to remember everything, but you're supposed to remember where the information is. You know, I learned that as a young guy, because I've had, you know, we had to teach this mountain stove one day, and the guy goes, I'll teach it after lunch. And I'm like, we've never seen that before. He goes, there's the book. Sit down and read the book at lunch, and we'll teach it like we own it. And that's what he did. He read the book at lunch, knows how to instruct, and they thought he invented that stove. You know, and I'm like, huh. And I was like 18, you know, I was like a little corporal or something. I'm like, huh, noted, you know. So this is a reference book, 500 pages, took me 2 years, because I just kept adding to it as I discovered more information. I just had to quit and hit print. So there's continual updates, which people might not like, but I want to put the newest info out. But it's written in a way that it's short snippets, you know, a couple pages per subject.
Sure.
So you don't have to read the entire book on sleep. You can get the cliff notes of sleep, you know, and how important that is.
Right. And I think when you read the whole book on whatever the topic is, that's almost like information overload. Sometimes you just need the couple pages of just the highlights of whatever the modality is or whatever it is that you're talking about. Just give me the quick and dirty version of it, and I should be able to make a determination from there. And if I need more information after that, like you said, there's information out there, and I can go and find it and kind of dig into it further.
Oh, yeah. I list all the references. I've read hundreds of books for this, and in the back is all those books. So if you need to dig it deeper, just look back there, find the book.
Right.
Dig into it, you know. But there's more information now than up with YouTube and everything. I mean, you can become a PhD in whatever you want on YouTube. So
I'm sure. Yeah, exactly. So I think we actually had a little miss here. We've talked about the book kind of in general terms. What's the name of the book for the listeners who are interested in that?
Fire Support. You know, I thought, you know, that's the best. Drill it down to one thing, and when we need fire support, we need to know who to call. You know, and you need to pre-plan your fire. So, you know, it's on Amazon, obviously, but it's just, why not have all the information in one place? And, you know, people are not going to read 100 books. It's just not happening. It's just, I do a book a week. So why not?
Right. Yeah, exactly. So I think, you know, for the listeners, I think if you are in that position where you are just not sure what's next, what do I do next? Or I'm struggling. I think I've tried everything. I don't know what else there is out there. Well, this resource is available. Again, you said, you don't need to know every single resource that's available. As a matter of fact, I think that's counterproductive to know all the resources that are available, because you don't need all the resources. You need probably the one or two, or, you know, a couple things that will actually, you know, move you closer to the goal line to actually get past whatever issue it is that you happen to be dealing with. And, you know, don't worry about what other people did and what helped them, because their issues are their issues and your issues are yours. But with a resource like this, you can look up the type of stuff that might be affecting you and find the resources that will be beneficial to you for whatever it is that you might be dealing with. And, you know, to me, that's part of the reason why I wanted to have you on the show, is just to kind of talk about that, you know, as a resource, because, you know, sometimes it's just, you don't know what you don't know. And when you have a resource that's available that gives you information on stuff that you just wouldn't have thought of otherwise. Like I just never would have thought of some of this stuff. Exactly.
You know, if they suggest, hey, go to this, and you're like, truthfully, I'd rather look in here, because I've drilled it down to what we need to see, not what they would try to advertise and market to you.
Sure.
Because they believe it works.
Sure.
Because there's some I've been to one and two times just to prove it doesn't work. You know, and then you find out it works for 30% of the patients. You're like, how the hell can you sell a product that works 30% of the time? You know, I'm like, and you got guys in here that really need this bad. You know, I've gone to some of these modalities that I wrote a scathing AAR, you know, because the people they're treating are so bad off or just don't know any better. They don't know what quality is. You know, and some of the clinics I've been to are world class. And then you go to some that is getting 20 or 30 vets a week in there, and it's the most abysmal thing. It's like, this isn't going to help anybody. It's a delay of game. I mean, you might trick them into thinking they're better, but I understand neurologically that this isn't doing anything, you know, and somebody's paying for it, and they don't know their money's being wasted, you know, as a donor. So I've made some friends too.
Yeah, and when you have people like who you're just describing, like some of those veterans who are in need of something, you know, kind of immediate, and I think a lot of times you're going to end up having someone who is very trustworthy or trusting of the folks who are running these things, because they're in a position of authority or you know, knowledgeable on a certain subject, and it's like, you know what, I'm not knowledgeable on this, so I'm going to trust what you have to say on this.
And correct. Yeah.
Then you start going down that path, and A, it could be the wrong path altogether. B, it could be potentially harmful for, you know, whatever it is that you might be dealing with. And, you know, you want to make sure that obviously folks are getting the right help and the right treatment and not being led down the wrong path. And so, and I've always said this, like, you have to be your own advocate for correct. These types of things. And so the more knowledge you have on what it is that you think you need, the better you're going to be. Because, I mean, you go to a doctor's appointment, the doctor spends, what, 10 minutes with you, maybe, yeah. if you're lucky. Right. And, you know, there's no way they're going to be able to get all the information that they need to help you. You have all the time in the world. You can do all the research that you want to do on you. The doctor has forgotten your name by the time they walk out the door, yeah. and they're on to the next patient. And so, you know, yeah, sure, the doctors, they're helpful in everything. I don't want to, you know, knock doctors in the medical profession, you know, 100%, but let's face it, they don't do the best job all the time. And you do need to be your own advocate and find the right things for you. And then bring that to the doctor. If there's a referral that's needed or a prescription or something that's needed, you know, bring that to the doctor and say, hey, this is what I think I need. What do you think? You know, based on X, Y, and Z conditions. But that's on you to do your homework. And I think that's something a lot of people just farm out to the doctors and just trust their expertise kind of 100%. And that's not the right way to look at it either, yeah. I don't think.
Yeah, but I think we need to help each other too, because when a guy's down,
sure,
he's not thinking logically. There's been many a times I've had to have one of my buddies slap me upside the head and say,
sure,
let's sit down and figure this out. Because when you're out of it, you can't make logical, yeah. or you wouldn't do it. You know, that's, I don't care what level you were at, what unit you're in, what MLS you were. You know, you don't know what all the contributing factors are.
Yeah, no, so, exactly.
And that's
yeah.
where, if like, I've been through so many of these, it's easier for me to go, here's a triage, this, and this, call this doctor, call this foundation. And more guys has to do that, you know, and it's not easy. But I've jerked a knot in a lot of guys going, hey, dude, doing nothing is not helping. And you get them to like the first, second, or third things on a triage, and they're a whole different person. But that's where someone has yeah. to identify. I can see it in their eye. Yeah, I stopped exactly. a guy one day walking down the street in D.C. He's a sergeant major in uniform. I'm like, stop. Let's talk. I got him into therapy within a week. And he was in charge of like that in the Army, you know, at the Pentagon. I'm like, dude, you're a wreck. Yeah, I am. And I didn't know him from that. I just stopped him on the street. Sure. But, you know, we have to call. Our own ego gets in the way, I think. Did for me for years. To identify enough things that push you into action. So let's catch them sooner.
Yeah, exactly. Being a good buddy, a good battle buddy, whatever you want to call it, and helping those folks out who are maybe just so far into it, they can't see their way out.
Correct.
They're so far deep in that dark tunnel, they don't even see that there is light at the end of the tunnel. And so, you know, someone has to come in there with a flashlight and help them out and help kind of drag them through. And it doesn't mean you got to do everything for the person, but you have to, you know, help them, lead them in the right direction and get them to a place where they can start making some of these decisions on their own. Because like you said, sometimes you're just not in that right state of mind yeah. to be able to do that stuff for yourself. And that's unfortunate that we get to that point, but ideally those types of things should be taken care of before they get to that point. But sometimes it's just not possible, or, you know, like a lot of times it's just missed, right?
Yeah. Worry. We'll see it, but they don't know what it is. You know, I was a bear for years, but that was before all this stuff had been better defined, you know, and if you've worked, you know, classified stuff for years, I guarantee you in your mind, you know, you're going to have some issues because, you know, you come back from a trip. What'd you do? I'm like, not really much, you know, hung out. Yeah. You were doing three hits a night, you know, and it's just, it's taxing. And guys are like, oh, it doesn't matter. Right. Call me in 10 years, sunshine. Let me know. Everything gets worse over time if you don't deal with it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Because Yeah, you definitely have to be able to offload some of that stuff and unburden your own mind and body in some cases of all these things that you've been carrying around. And it's easier said than done. It's definitely not an easy thing to do, and it's something that sometimes we just need help with, and maybe a little bit of encouragement from someone like yourself with that sergeant major that you were talking about. Like, just hey, nudge him in the right direction. He probably knows that he probably needs something, just doesn't know what necessarily. But if you can kind of push him in the right direction, that might be just what he needs to get off his ass and start doing the right thing, right?
Yeah, and a lot of the helpers are hiding themselves. You know, it's distracting for them. Hey, I'm helping other people. I'm like, yeah, but your house is on fire. You know, so you can't be the community fireman or the national fireman, you know, when your bed's on fire. You know, so it's
sure.
I've seen it all. You know, I have really great buddies that they do phenomenal things for other people. And then when you sit down with them, they need the exact same thing they're pushing out. You know, I fell for that years ago also.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard. It's hard. You want to be a good buddy, but you also have to put your own oxygen mask on first. You know, when you're on an airplane and they tell you to put yours on first before helping others, you got to do that. Apply that to your own general life. You know, take care of your own self first before worrying about all of the other things, and you'll be better off for it. You'll be better able to help folks out with whatever it is that they're dealing with, because you've taken care of your stuff first, and you're now in a better place to jump off and then help those folks with their issues. Yeah. So, oh gosh.
And tips are better. You know, it's better to learn from somebody else's mistake than your own. You know?
Sure.
That's SF-101. If you saw this guy do this wrong and fall, you're like, well, I won't do it that way. You know, let's do it this way. So let's do the teaching.
Yeah, and it's insanity to try doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So if you see someone else has tried something and it didn't work, and it's, or even maybe it's counterproductive, yeah, don't do that and try something else. And that's not necessarily a failure. It all it is really just a new data point. It's like, okay, well, that doesn't work. Let's try something else.
Correct.
and let's move on from there. So it's not waste time on that other thing. So. So that's great advice, and I just from this little bit of a conversation, I could tell that the book is going to be loaded with a hell of a lot more advice. You know, you said it's 500-ish pages, and it's got tons and tons of resources.
It's 500 pages,
and that's I think exactly what this community needs. We need more quick information on the type of things that are out there that we can use to help ourselves or help our buddies or help whoever. Get through whatever it is that they're going through. And so this is exactly what that is. Again, just before we wrap up, one last time, just tell the listeners the name of the book and where they can find it, all that stuff. And then I'll make sure that the links and everything are in the show notes.
Yeah. Fire Support, you know, obviously I'm the author, and it's on Amazon, but there's just so many hard learned lessons in there. You know, I put stuff in there that doesn't work, because I found out it didn't work, but I want you to kind of know it too. And, you know, you can't take it as gospel, but it's, everything in there has been figured out the hard way.
Right. And I think knowing what doesn't work to that point is, you know, just as valuable as knowing what does work, because you might have heard from somebody else, hey, why don't you try, XYZ, whatever the thing is. And then you start reading up on it. It's like, well, geez, that doesn't really sound like it would be such a great idea. And so, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but at least you have more information about all of the things that are out there. And I think information is definitely power, and that's what this book gives. So again, for the listeners, that link will be in the show notes. You can check out the book from there. But Eric, I want to thank you again for coming on the show and sharing your insights and your background and everything. And also thank you for, the work that you're doing to help support the veterans in our community. I think it's definitely time for folks to start stepping up and doing stuff like what you're doing. So thank you.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to get more people to jump in there. It's definitely a huge problem, but it's workable.
Absolutely.